turning from the things of the world unto the things of God. Church folks today, they're leaving and they're abandoning the will and the ways of God. They're turning away from the true gospel and true religion. They're not adhering to sound doctrine. Paul talks about the church at Colossae, about the turning away in the last days. He warns them about false teaching. And saints of God, we're going to pick up right there. In our next session, we're going to pick up right there.
All right, family. You have been listening to the Spiritual One Man Broadcast with Evangelist Wonder Bear. You can connect with us on Facebook at Evangelist Wonder Bear. Or you can write us at Evangelist Wonder Bear on Spiritual One Man at PO Box 5884.
But when we put it all together, this is what we like to call you, Jesus.
That's tune in every Tuesday at first, same time, here on KAYT 88.1. Deeper, deeper in the Word of God. To this is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
Our study tonight is in the form of a question, and the question is, got purpose? Got purpose? You know the former commercial, you say, got milk? And anything about all of the wonderful things that go along with milk, etc. Well, one of the things that I have discovered, both from scripture and experience, is the fact that if the devil can keep you from connecting with your purpose, your true purpose in life, then he robs you greater than you even realize. So many of the joys that you would know in this earth and in this life would not be realized nor recognized, but then you would also not fulfill the purpose for your creation here on planet Earth. And so it's important to recognize and realize that purpose is so important that God speaks volumes in the Word concerning purpose. The devil does what he can to keep us from doing what we can because he wants some company, or should I say, more company in hell. The devil's destiny has already been plotted and planned by his own demise. And so the best that he can do now is to add more misery with himself. And so, as you know the old saying, misery what? Loves company. He loves company. He does not want to be alone, and he has targeted you to be with him. But thanks be to God that Jesus Christ has come, paid the penalty for our sins, our shortcomings, our mistakes, our mess ups, and has given us a new chance and given us a right to eternal life, and has given us all the means whereby we are able to discover our purpose in order to fulfill our destiny. And see, again, when you don't recognize this, when you don't realize this, it's like one brother said, if you don't know where you're going, any road will take you there. If you don't know where you're going, you can just get on there and just, I'm just riding. But when you have a destiny, you're on your way somewhere. You have a destination. And so you know how long it's going to take you when you're going somewhere, but you can't get on a map and charter just riding. And when you're going to get through with that, unless you put in a destination, which means you have a purpose to that end. And so there are three things that I want you to jot down, and we'll go through scripture. I want you to understand them, though. It's to understand that purpose carries with it, and God gives to us passion. Passion is so important, connected with your purpose, because it is that thing that drives you. Without passion, you're just dull, and things are just humdrum, and it's kind of, you do it, you do it, you don't do it, you don't do it, you get done with it when you get done with it. But passion adds a liveliness to it, a sense of real value, a sense of excitement. And so one of the things you're going to note about your purpose is God will give you a passion when you discover what your purpose is. And one of the things that you're going to note is that whenever you are functioning in your purpose, the passion is divinely fed or given, so you don't have to try and make yourself do stuff. Passion empowers you. Passion gives you, the desire. Matter of fact, you start looking forward to it because passion on the inside of you enlivens the situation. It is the essence of what brings that alive to you. It is that part that actually gets you excited, and you get the joy of it even before you see the manifestation of it in your life. And so passion is connected with your purpose. But secondly, power is connected to your passion. You're going to note that you will never ever have the power to complete your assignment and never have the passion connected with your purpose if you do not know your purpose. God is too awesome of a God. God is too wise of a God to give you passion without purpose. Because if he gave you passion without purpose, guess what you can do with that passion? What you wanted. You take that passion and apply that to whatever you want to do. And that passion will work the same way. That's why the passion God gives you is connected with your purpose, because it is in the design of God for you to finish and to accomplish that he's assigned for you to do. And then again, the power is what is the part of accomplishing or reaching or attaining that goal through that purpose. And then when you have power, guess what else is connected with the power? Peace. And that's why a whole lot of us, though they might have a little money in the bank, have a few possessions, they might have a great job, on and on and on, there is not a peace underneath the skin that resides there. Peace stops in every now and then, but it don't stay there. It doesn't have a residence underneath your skin. And so you find out many times you're peaceless, you are restless, and sometimes even hopeless because you are not connected with your purpose. Here's what the Word of God says, that the work that God has begun in you, he will continue it to completion. Paraphrased. Now, what's important is to know this. One of the reasons why you may not know how God operates and God is faithful to his own word is if you know God has given you an assignment, a vision, a dream, goal, whatever it is, for his glory, and it's always, I need to throw this out parenthetically as well, his purpose is always connected with his pleasure. God doesn't give you a purpose to please you. He doesn't give you a purpose to please man. He gives you a purpose to please him. And if what you're doing is not pleasing him, it's a helpful holy hint, you ain't operating in your purpose. Now, you might be good at some stuff you do, but that don't mean that's the purpose God has connected with your life. And so one of the things you'll know that God has assigned a purpose and he's begun that work in you, ain't nothing gonna happen to you till he's through with you. Until that purpose has been fulfilled, because God is faithful. And so when you know that, the devil then may try you, he may trick you, he may trap you, but it ain't over until God has the last word and you, who was created for that purpose, have completed your assignment. Want to throw this out as well. You know, when you look at purpose, has with it, again, the markings of God upon it. God knows you. God knows why he created you. He knows why he created you for this period or whatever period in time that men have been created for, have been brought into existence for. It was, again, all for his glory. But then because of his glory, he would then bless us and give us the goods. But here's what you need to know. Jesus at 12 years old knew his purpose. He was in the temple talking to the lawyers and the doctors about that was connected to his calling and his purpose. Spent 3 days there because he was passionate about it, because he was empowered by God to deal with his purpose. And so he astounded them with his knowledge and his ability at 12 years old. Moses, on the other hand, lived in the palace for 40 years as a prince, then was kicked out of the palace and lived as a pauper, a poor, broke vagabond for another 40 years. He was 80 years old before he became connected with his purpose. So 12 years old, 80 years old, what I'm trying to help somebody to understand is that you can't say you're too young or too old for your purpose. And so you might have been living life up to this point and say, well, you know, I don't know what my purpose is. Maybe I don't have a purpose. Everyone was created with a purpose in mind. The question is, do you have your purpose clear? Are you connected with your purpose? Because life doesn't take on meaning to the level that God wants it to until you connect to the power source. And that is the purpose of your existence here. One of the things that's, again, important is that purpose that is divinely inspired is done again for the pleasing of God. Jonah preached a 40-day revival. When you read the Word of God, all that is ever said about Jonah is connected to his 40-day purpose. But in 40 days, listen at this, he saved a whole country, Nineveh. He preached to his enemies. God gave him an assignment. God birthed him and grew him and groomed him to go to Nineveh to preach 40 days. That was what his whole life's purpose was. When he preached them 40 days and Nineveh, the whole country was saved, there's nothing else said about Jonah. Do you know why? Because he had fulfilled his purpose. So what I'm trying to tell somebody is your purpose might not be a lifelong situation. Your purpose might be to raise that little girl, or raise that little boy, or to raise those children, to impact them in such a way that through your influence and through what God chooses and uses you to do, he can change a whole world through that was sown into their lives. God may touch your life, that your life and your work and your profession may be saving lives, changing lives, impacting lives, developing, delivering lives, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It may be that God has created you to save one person, but that one person may have an impact on this world like never before. And so what that purpose is, I can't tell you, because that's a personal thing that is between the creature and the creator. That's why you've got to seek God for your purpose. You've got to know God for your purpose. But I promise you, when you connect with your purpose, you won't be able to be denied the reality of not only knowing your purpose, but functioning in your purpose and becoming successful in the eyes of God. Anything else falls short. I know a lot of professional people who are successful by man's term, but are unhappy underneath the skin. There's a void and a restlessness. Make good money, live in great communities, drive what they want, socialize on high levels, connected with the who's who, all of that, but there is an emptiness underneath the skin. Why? Because they're not connected with their purpose. I want you to look at this word. I'm dealing with the New King James Version on this. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9 says, "Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began." Our purpose is to know that in life we have a job to do. We are on a mission to fulfill. God has given an assignment to us before this world ever began. That's how well thought out your purpose in this life has been on God's part. It's not about your works, about what you do in the natural and what you know in terms of your own intellect. It's about connecting to the supernatural realities of your existence as relates to the purpose of God. Whatever you do to make a living may not necessarily be connected with your purpose. And one of the things you'll discover is, no matter what it is you do for a living, if it is not connected with your purpose, when you get to the point where you are connected with your purpose, you can work 8 hours, you can work 10 hours, you can work 12 hours on the job, barely able to keep it together there. But as soon as you get off and start connecting with your purpose, God hits the refresh button. And man, it's like, you know, I took a shower and I felt like life again. I felt good. No, you're connecting with your purpose, and God just infuses life in you again. And man, you're ready to take on the world for another 18 hours if need be, connected with your purpose. And so that is the power. Listen, man can give you paychecks, but he can't give you joy. And when you connect with your purpose, the joy, listen, is payment enough for knowing I please my Heavenly Father. But then he adds benefits with the joy, and that's called lanyap, surplus, extra. And so that's why we need to get connected, because the devil don't want us to know that kind of joy, that kind of peace, because then we become what God wants us to be, and we do what God wants us to do, and then our life is truly worth living. I want you to see something else. If you turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11. Now, this is coming out of the New International Version translation. It says, in him we were also chosen. Tell somebody, I've been chosen. Now, that signifies, whenever the word says chosen, that God arbitrarily, authoritatively, and absolutely made a choice to make you who he desired you to be. When the Bible talks about chosen, it literally means you didn't have a choice. Let me ask this question. How many of you decided when you were going to get here on planet Earth? Just raise your hands. How many of you decided that you were going to be a male or a female? Come on, talk to me, somebody. All right, I can keep on going down that line of questioning, but you won't be able to answer that. Can you tell me why? You didn't have a choice. You were chosen. Here's what people miss, that in the divine scheme of things, God knew everything before this world began. There is nothing that is a mistake in God's sight. There are no accidents. I was asked one time, Pastor, would you bless a baby of parents who were not married when the baby was conceived? And I wrestled with that question for a long time, because there are moral issues connected with the connotation of, you know, encouraging folk to live life like that and then come before the church and bless the child. But when you read scripture, when the woman brought her baby to be blessed of the Lord, do you ever see in scripture where the husband was present? Do you even know if she had a husband? Did Jesus even ask anything about her husband? Did he ever ask, was this baby born in wedlock or out of wedlock? Did you hear any of that? Well, here comes the question. What makes the baby illegitimate when the baby didn't have nothing to do with coming here? So if there is any illegitimacy, guess who it's on, whose part's it on? That's on the mama and the daddy part. So I want you to understand God's reasoning versus man's reasoning. And when you begin to operate the way God operates, God himself is the only judge. He's the only one. He has to answer to no one for why he does what he does. And I'm trying to tell you this, that no person is here by accident. It didn't just happen. I don't care what they tell you. Y'all catch that on your way home. All right? But God had a purpose, even what the devil meant for evil. Even what was done out of just careless fun or promiscuous fun, God had a purpose. And so you'll be surprised at what God could do with mess-ups and mistakes and children who showed up before the honeymoon or even the marriage. The record is filled with it, and it is so. God is faithful to his own word. And so the word says again, it says, in him we were also chosen, having been predestined, the King James verse say predestinated, according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. So that means it ain't no mistake that you are who you are, that you have the parents you have, that you were born at the time you were born, that you had this sickness, this illness, this disease, whatever the case. It's no mistake. God knew all of that in the beginning of time, before time began for man, and yet God still had a purpose in spite of all of those things. And so when you read it again, in him we were also chosen, which means we were not a mistake on no level, having been predestined according to the plan of him, not of you, who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. Another way of saying it is Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for what? I don't care what bad you're experiencing, what you've dealt with, what you're dealing with, what you're going through. Listen, that is a fragmented part of your life. It is not the whole of your life. And so here's what you need to know. Yes, you messed up. Yes, you made a mistake. Yes, you fell down. Yes, you went the wrong way. Yes, this happened. Yes, that happened. But think of it this way. It happened in a day. And a day is just one day of your life. You can fall down today, but you can get up tomorrow. Matter of fact, you can get up today if you stop wallowing and feeling sorry and blaming everybody else for you falling. But here is the point that I'm trying to help you understand, that God factors in that day of hurt, of pain, of falling, of mistake, etc., in with the whole equation. And God still has a place for that day to help perfect you, to help develop you, to help bring you to another place in your life so that you come out in the end the way he wants you to be. What the devil meant for evil, God says, I'm going to let you do it, but I'm going to not let you have the outcome you thought it was going to be. And so sometime when God allows the enemy to shoot the darts at you, it's no problem because he already told you, put your whole armor on. So if you happen to get stuck by some of those darts, maybe it'll rush you to your closet where you put your stuff on and get yourself together. Because he told you, if they hate you, know that they hated me before they hated you. And listen, if I overcame the world, if you got yourself together, guess what? You're going to overcome the world too. So when you recognize these things, brothers and sisters, you need to know God didn't put you here for a picnic. You're a soldier in the army of the Lord, and he has not called us to be here in a comfortable place of bedded roses and think that life will be just a bunch of lullabies and easy going. No, you represent Jesus. Jesus is our divine example. When you look at his life and look at what he dealt with, what he went through, but what he overcame and became victorious in, it is so that we will have a paradigm and an example for us to follow, so that when we go through, when we deal with, when we are faced with these same things, our outcome can be what? The same. What's the purpose of putting a roadmap down if it does not get you to the same destination that anybody who travels those roads go down? So he gives you a roadmap of how to get from here to there. And if you follow the roadmap, which is the word of God, then you will have everything, because everything has been fitted together so that it ends up fulfilling God's purpose. Do you know, listen at this well, do you know that everything that happens to your life, good and bad, is working with the plan of God for your life? The stuff that you just like calling on God and asking God to deliver you from, and God change this and so forth. Listen, Paul had an issue in the flesh called a thorn in the flesh. He had bodily deformity. And he sought God three times for a divine healing. The same man that would lay hands on folk and they would be healed. The same man that put aprons and handkerchiefs on his anointed bodies, and they carried them to sick in faraway cities and states and countries, and they got healed. The same man that was preaching a sermon so long that a boy that was sitting up in the window sill, several floors up, fell down to his death. He said, "Y'all excuse me." He went downstairs and he raised that boy from the dead and brought him back. He said, "That's what you get for sleeping on my sermon." And he continued all night long with his message. It's in the Word. Those of you who know the Bible know this. And he sought God three times for a healing, and God would not do it. But here's God's response. "My grace is sufficient for thee, and my strength is made perfect in weakness." You see, Paul discovered maybe God does not want to remove this thorn of the flesh because it is working in conformity with his purpose for my life. Maybe if he removes this thorn, man, I might get beside myself. Because God has shown me some things and taken me to some places. I don't even know if I was in a trance or if I was literally transformed and in the presence of God in the third heavens. I can't even make that determination. He said it was so real. He said, but he showed me some things that I can't even tell you about. He said, and it's easy to get the big head if everything were flowing the way I wanted it to go. So maybe sometime he allowed the challenges that we have to deal with to keep us in a place of humility, because he knows what's best for us. He knows that if he gave some of us certain abilities, that we would be beside ourselves. Man, if he really gave some of you all the gift to sing, and you had a little looks with you too, you know, and you had it going on, oh, you would soon be out the church house and on, what is that, American Idol or some of that other thing. Forget Sunday's best, man, I'm going out. You know, you take all that gift and go out there, man, I want to make me some money. I want to blow up. I want all that. God knows that if he gave us certain things that we desired, not connected with his purpose, that we couldn't handle those things. He knows how arrogant we would act and so forth and say, brother so-and-so, we want you to do a solo today. What's in it for me? I don't feel like singing right now. You know, we take attitude with it. You got to beg us and, oh, come on, please, come on. We have brother so-and-so in the audience that want to come and say, no, that's all right. Because the hype ain't got high enough yet. You get up with my, come on, yeah, come on, brother. You know, we go through all that. And then when we finally get him where you want to be, then he come on up there and it's like, I'm doing God a favor and I'm doing you a favor, and you best appreciate it because I didn't feel like all this today. He knows how we would handle certain things. And listen to this. I am convinced, though God wants us to have the best of all that this world has to offer, he knows that sometime his best for you may not be your best for you. His best for you is the ultimate level of where you can enjoy the best that he has for you without going overboard.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's Lobdell Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things. Pray for this ministry. Partner with this ministry. and tell others about this ministry. Now, we pray the Lord's richest blessings upon you and invite you to listen each Monday through Friday at this same time.